welcome to the Internal Audit Podcast Series. This is IA 360 Airwaves from Internal Audit 360. I'm your host, Joe McCafferty, and today we're going to be talking about robotic process automation in internal auditing. Our guest today is Alec Ahrens. Alec is founder of the Alec G. Ahrens Consulting, LLC. He works with chief audit executives and audit committees to improve the effectiveness of audit leaders to develop leadership pipelines and improve overall performance of internal audit functions. Thanks for being here with us today, Alec.
Joe, it's great to be with you again.
About robotic process automation, we hear a lot about it. A lot of people talk about how this is becoming, you know, somewhat of a must-have for internal audit functions to improve efficiency and to do some things much quicker and faster. But, you know, I'm going to start right off with just asking you, you know, what is robotic process automation? Can you just tell us what it is and how it's used in internal audit?
Certainly, Joe. Well, I guess the textbook definition would be that it's technology that configures computer software, creating a virtual robot that captures and interprets existing data for processing a transaction, for manipulating data, triggering responses, and communicating with other digital systems. So it basically allows you to perform manual tasks, some analytic tasks, and for triggers to be happening automatically.
You're giving us the textbook definition here. Can you dumb it down for me?
Yeah, I'll dumb it down for you. It's programmable software, right? People talk in terms of it being robots, but what it really is are automated scripts, right? They're complex scripts that will allow you to perform routine repetitive transactions in a sequenced way. And as people are beginning to more and more use bots, they're using them for things like reading emails, extracting attachments from emails, sending automated responses. I'm aware of examples where companies are completing account reconciliations where the bots will automatically log on to accounts just like you would log on to your personal bank account and download a file into Quicken so they can go into multiple accounts, get data from all sorts of different cloud-based or internet-based sources, download them into spreadsheets, populate the data, and begin doing routine checks of completeness and data accuracy, things like that.
I see. So if I have a task, something that I'm doing over and over and over again, maybe I'm opening up two or three different applications, checking some information here, maybe cutting and pasting it into a different application like Excel or an internal audit software system. And it's, you know, I'm doing this over and over again. I can teach the computer to do that itself.
Yes, that's exactly it. You can download the information, you can populate a spreadsheet, you can do routine recalculations, perform, you know, very simple audit steps as we get more and more further along, more complex audit steps. But when I think back to when I started and I would take a look at the invoice and I would transcribe all the information onto an 11 by 14 column paper or later onto a spreadsheet to do a testing. Now you can pull a sample and that have that data flow right down into the spreadsheet and start to do elements of the testing for you.
And that, I see. So you know, I can complete these manual tests and I don't even have to pay it overtime.
Yeah, exactly. And it can run in the middle of the night. It'll run 24/7. As soon as that data is available and downloaded, tests can be performed. You can walk in the morning, pull it up, look at it, know that everything is functioning as designed pretty much in real time.
Mm-hmm. Now, when I first heard about robotic process automation, I had trouble with the word robotic. And people refer to them as bots. Are we exaggerating when we call them bots? Or aren't they really more just kind of glorified scripts? Or you know, why is that in the name? Maybe we can go with there.
Well, I think robotic, right? Because it's kind of the routine nature, right? When you think of robots on an assembly line, which is the first place that you begin to think about it, you know, putting in bolts on an automotive line or anything else, is that you're doing the same task, repeating it over and over again, or a series of tasks in a sequenced manner. So this is really just taking sophisticated software scripts and sequencing it in terms of gathering information, sorting it, putting it into place, and then, you know, executing, as you suggest, a series of standardized scripts against it. You know,
I see. So I really like that analogy of the assembly line. You know, we all know internal auditors don't do manual work. They do work on computers, and they do work with their brains. And this is kind of automating some of that. So I really do like that analogy.
Yeah. And it's like, if you move beyond the audit realm for a minute, and you look at the whole, you know, well, I know we'll talk no doubt in a few minutes about how it's broadly being used within organizations, but take account reconciliations, right? People that are working in a general accounting department that are doing account reconciliations, you know, on a monthly basis or more frequently, or perhaps quarterly, they're pulling information from a lot of sources in order to do the reconciliation and the real cognitive brain work on it. Well, this way they can get everything they need to complete the elements of that reconciliation, have all the data in front of them, come in the morning, pull it up on their screen, and do the actual reconciliation rather than spending, you know, a few hours pulling in all the data into Excel from all the other places and systems that exist.
I see. So, Alec, is RPA is not unique to internal audit. Is that correct? Is this being used throughout the organization? And maybe you can talk a little bit about how it's being used.
Well, it's certainly being used throughout the organization, whether it be in the sales function for elements of account servicing, order processing, things for like issues tracking, issuing credits and refunds, call routing and customer inquiries. I think as we're all living through this new emerging new normal and new reality, and we're interfacing with more and more software programs as we're trying to get basic queries answered, we're actually seeing people becoming more and more comfortable with the interface they're dealing with on the other side or on their screen being identified as a robot. Right? They'll tell you that this is the transaction bot for ABC Corporation. You'll type in what your inquiry is, and, you know, based upon the words that you use, they'll route you to the right place, or they'll try and give you an answer from a long database of frequently asked questions that they have. So, you know, certainly it's being used as a sales interface. It's being used by procurement functions in terms of PO management, invoice processing, managing inventory, looking at elements of, you know, vendor management programs. Accounting departments are using things like routine transactions, accounts payable, accounts receivable, payroll processing, the formation of routine journal entries. And we've talked a little bit about how it's being used for reconciliation purposes. Of course, IT is leveraging the technology for help desk support, for pushing out software upgrades, doing some elements of cyber and data risk management. And certainly on the HR front, we're seeing more and more bots used for resume screening and handling routine, you know, processes relating to onboarding and termination. So more and more, we're seeing broader and broader applications for it. And that's good news for internal audit, because there's more and more data and more automated processes that they can link into to determine ways to how they can test more efficiently, get broader coverage, et cetera.
So it sounds like that even if internal audit is not using RPA itself, it's likely going to encounter it in the organization, and it should, you know, auditors should know what it is and how it works. I know auditors do not like black boxes, so they're going to have to, you know, go in and understand exactly what the RPA scripts are doing and make sure that it's sound. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, it's multiple things, right? You know, you're going to have to look at the way that you're testing, because the things and methods that you've used to test before just may not be appropriate any longer, right? You're going to have to start understanding the black box and testing the key controls, and your IT people, auditors, are going to need to understand just kind of, you know, what checks are being done on the data coming in, coming out, so that you can rely upon what's happening within the box. And obviously, to the extent to which the systems or underlying processes are changing, You've got to alternate and update your approach to how you're going to go about auditing them. And you've also got to look at the opportunities, because as more and more of the data becomes digitized, you know, what can you be doing to automate your processes to improve your coverage and get greater efficiency?
Mm-hmm. Alec, I was hoping you could just walk me through an example of how it's being used in internal audit. Like, what are some of the things that internal auditors are specifically using it for?
Well, you know, certainly. Well, I think when you look at it in terms of internal audit, they're using it to populate certain internal control testing, do certain testing of SOX controls, IT general controls. Certainly using it for sample selection to pick out data anomalies, expand upon things that we've been doing in and around analytics to start looking at non-routine transactions. There are certainly more advanced functions are starting to use RPA to generate audit reports, or at a minimum generate audit comments based upon certain types of situations that they're finding, and results that are similar to what they've seen in other audit instances can automatically go in, query databases of reports that they have, and, you know, populate reports with a general comment, and then make those comments more specific to the situation that they're dealing with. It's also being used as a program management tool, as a reporting tool for audit committees to illustrate coverage, both in terms of numbers of sites visited and also the types of, you know, issues that have been identified, some of the underlying numbers that support those issues. So, you know, pretty much if you can think about it and you become more and more conversant in whether it be the RPA tool specifically or the automation tools now that you're using to support your function, you know, there are ways to automate the things that in the past were, you know, manually driven, or all things that are pretty much commonplace and routine.
I see. And I do want to get to that idea of what it can do in terms of automation. But I wanted to talk just for a minute or two about the underlying data. RPA, I'm going to guess, relies heavily on the data that's already there. And then we start to hear a lot about things like data hygiene and data governance. Is it important to make RPA work correctly? Is it important to do some work on the underlying data already?
It's the essence of it. I mean, the one thing that hasn't changed with RPA is the old philosophy of garbage in, garbage out. If you don't have good information, quality, you know, cleansed, high integrity information going in, and if you don't have underlying well-controlled, well-supported processes at the start, you're just going to have bad data processed throughout the transaction. So, you know, as a matter of fact, the roles that internal audit was initially playing in RPA was getting in on the ground floor as part of an overall, you know, project management perspective and offering insights into which processes were candidates for robotic process automation. Because somebody could come to you and say they've got the best software tool available to automate accounts payable. But if your accounts payable is not stable and you've got all kinds of exceptions in your processing or all sorts of nuances to the way that your, you know, inventory of raw materials are handled through accounts payable that causes a lot of circumventing of the system, unless you've got that locked down up front, you know, you're not going to have a good result or the outcome that you're hoping for on the other end. So, you know, data governance, data hygiene, and stability of process is, you know, if those three legs of the stool aren't there before you get started, it's not going to work. And unfortunately, a lot of companies have invested a lot of money and, you know, found that out to be the case.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wanted to get back to this idea of automation. You know, I think I can see how RPA could be useful to, you know, automate some of these repetitive tasks. It seems like a longer, a further leap to get to where you've automated an entire, you know, a function or a process. Can you talk to me, tell us a little bit about how that might work?
Well, yeah, I think you can get, I think what you're doing is that you start with the basics, right? You look at your core processes, you look at your opportunities for stable processes, and then as you can get more and more things automated and you become more familiar with the capabilities of the tools and how you can leverage those RPA specific tools with the tools that you're using to, you know, perform your risk assessments, keep your, you know, track your testing results, you know, do your reporting, you can then begin to look at other ways that you can then begin to aggregate the data that you've collected and started to make more and more sense of it. So it takes a little bit of time. You want to make sure that, you know, that the basic testing and the platforms that you put in place, the baselines are all correct. And once you start getting data from multiple sources and get more comfortable with the tools and build up your repository of results, then you can look at interrelationship and have it start, you know, figure out ways that you can use the tool to do more reporting, to inform your risk assessments and help with audit planning, pinpoint perhaps locations where you've, you know, have to do additional work, where you may want to do different types of work, right? Streamline your testing or change your testing based upon the results you're seeing location to location. So the more data you have, basically, the more then you can then begin to cut it, slice it, play with it, and try doing things in a different way.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the learning curve for RPA. Is this something that your typical internal audit department can get up to speed on? And, you know, how long would that take? Is this something that there needs to be a lot of training for? Is there a lot of, you know, sophisticated software to buy and kind of to learn to? Tell us a little bit about the learning curve.
Well, I think the learning curve, it really depends. I think as I've talked to people over the past couple of years, and this is really a topic that started to gain some traction in 2017 and more conversations in 2018, and people have, you know, and looking to last year and now this year are moving more and more into implementation mode. But what I've encouraged people all along, CAEs, is to understand what your company is looking at, where they're going with it, and have a seat at the table at the very beginning, so that you can offer insights as to where they, you know, where they should start from a process perspective, where you go to the demos and you're part of the evaluation of the software so that you can understand what the software is capable of doing, understand how the processes may ultimately change so that you can begin to think about how you can leverage it more efficiently or effectively when it comes into play, and also to figure out how you're going to change how you're going to audit when the underlying processes change. So you make the investment of time up front to understand where the company is going, offering input and plan for it. When it comes time to implement, you're going to have a much smoother time than coming in 3/4 of the way down the road when the decision is made and you don't have the ability to influence any of those decisions and then have to react to it. And, you know, I think, if I may, that's the classic lesson learned from when so many companies started to try and get into data analytics, right? Leveraging the initial implementations of ERP systems. You know, the idea was that, you know, audit may have been involved from a controls perspective when those systems were implemented, but not necessarily from a design perspective. So there was all this data sitting in these systems, you know, that ultimately bolt-on programs and all sorts of scripts had to be developed that could get it from A to B, where audit could potentially use them to do data analytics. And a lot of times those became special projects and non-recurring projects for audit. But again, with audit having a seat at the table with a clear vision of what they want to do and how they want to leverage the investment the company is making, you can make for a smoother, more effective transition by getting involved early. That's really the key to speed. I think we've gotten to the point with all this technology is that it requires a certain level of customization that your vendors are going to do to make it specific to your situation. But it is very intuitive, just like the platforms that auditors are now using, you know, to automate their core processes. It's very user friendly. It's just making sure that you know, you're getting the data in a way that you can use it. And the best way to ensure that is to think about it early and, you know, get a seat at the table.
Now, I'm glad you brought up data analytics, because what I was going to ask you is, when I hear people talk about getting started in data analytics, what I usually hear is, you know, start small, put a person on this to really almost experiment and have a problem that you're trying to solve. So, you know, something easy that you can kind of get your mind around. And once you take that first step, you can take the second step, the third step. Is RPA like that? Is your, you know, what are your recommendations on, or your tips really for getting started?
Well, I think getting started, the last time we talked about applying design thinking to internal audit, agility, and transformation. And it's really the same kind of thought process I would apply to this, is that I'd start by saying, what are we doing today? Right? What's our current state? You know, how are we using data? Right? How could we be using data? If the company were to invest in these new processes and it would be easier to use that data, what if we were to try doing things differently? The importance of the what if questions. What if we tried to do this? What if we tried to look at it this way? What if we tried to do it that way? And you can start small, as you suggest, start to build some, you know, some small prototypes of testing, you know, for a particular type of transaction, for a particular part of your business, you know, see what's involved in getting the data extracted, what's involved in terms of manipulating it, or am I getting the results that I expected, you know, is this something that's scalable? And, you know, some of those things you try may work out, some of them may not work out. You know, but at the end of the day, you'll have a list of new scripts, of new testing strategies that you can then begin to implement. So, you know, it starts again with the current state. Think about what, you know, what if we tried to do things differently? You know, let's look at what's working. And then once we've determined what's worked, let's talk about what we can institutionalize and broaden within the organization. But, you know, control development, starting small and thinking bigger.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about some of the tools that they'll need, maybe some of the popular software programs that run RPA?
Yeah, well, the software, you know, UiPath, Blue Prism, Automation Anywhere, you know, those are the more mature products out there for RPA. There are any number of innovative companies that are coming out with products, and, you know, people, as it relates to integrating them with the internal audit platforms that you are using, you know, pretty much all of them, if you're an audit board shop or Workiva shop or Refinitiv or, you know, MK Insight, you know, they certainly have modules that we'll talk to and leverage what you're doing from an analytics perspective. So it's really a matter of looking at the capabilities of, you know, your current internal audit software in terms of how you turn those features on if you're not using them already, or looking at what's coming down the road from those platform providers. And then on the RPA software, you know, it's a bigger organizational decision. Audit isn't going to drive that. It's really what the business is going to need and which package best accommodates. But, you know, if you, like I've said, you know, like I've stressed, and again, it's the most important thing, if you have a seat at the table and you understand what's being done and packages that are being evaluated, you can, you know, build the bridges and make it work.
Mm-hmm. Alec, we just have a couple minutes left here. In the remaining time, a couple questions that I wanted to tackle. You know, one of the things I wanted to look at is, how fast is this gaining steam? How quickly do you see that internal audit teams seem to be adopting it? And then, you know, finally, tell us a little bit about, you know, where this is all going. Will we continue to see this evolve, and how is it going to change internal audit over the long term? Let's start with how quickly it's being adopted.
Well, as I said earlier, you know, back in 2017, 2018, this was kind of one of those futuristic things that everybody was beginning to talk about, but nobody really knew what their organization's plans were, right? Some steering committees were getting started. Some audit CAEs were fortunate enough to get a seat at the table and begin to understand where it was going. But as you move through 2018 into 2019, it was starting to take hold. So it's really become over the last, I'd say, you know, 12 to 18 months, more and more companies have adopted it. It's become more prevalent. So we're now at the point where those systems are now in place and audit is taking its next step to automate their testing. So the time is now. We're certainly no longer at the phase where we're talking about it's coming. It's coming, it's here. And, you know, leading edge companies are beginning to think about how we take it to the next level. So, you know, if you're not thinking about it, you need to be thinking about it. And if your company has just started, I would raise my hand, or I would look to some of the, you know, the more technologically advanced critical analytic thinkers within your group who have been doing things in and around analytics, and get them involved, because trains are rapidly leaving the station. It's here and it's underway. There's no doubt about it.
Well, I think that's a great place to leave it. Alec, I really want to thank you for your time today.
Okay, Joe, it was my pleasure, and it was great talking to you, and I hope everybody that listens to this is faring well and adapting to the new normal that will be upon us in the days and weeks and months to come, and perhaps that's the topic for our next podcast, the new normal.
I think that's a great idea, and I want to thank our audience who are out there likely listening from their living rooms and their home offices. Again, our guest today was Alec Ahrens. Alec is founder of the Alec G. Ahrens Consulting, LLC. He works with chief audit executives and audit committees to improve the effectiveness of audit leaders, to develop leadership pipelines, and improve the overall performance of internal audit functions. That is it for our session today on Internal Audit 360 Airwaves. I'm Joe McCafferty, and I want to thank you for being with us.